Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all those who are here with us as we celebrate the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Welcome also to all those who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We are glad you are here. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Mike. This Mass is being offered for John and Elizabeth McCraw.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, on earth peace to people of goodwill. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, heavenly King.
Let us pray. God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Sirach. My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire and gloomy darkness, and storm and trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. No, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. The word of the Lord.
Upon you, says the Lord, and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they might invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, if the passage has enough Bible-sounding words, I just assume that I understand it and keep moving on. I think that might be a temptation with our second reading. It's got the greatest hits of Bible-sounding words. Trumpets, darkness, covenant, Jesus, Mount Zion. Yeah, heavenly Jerusalem, I get it. Let's go on. Except, maybe I don't get it. What is it actually saying? It can be helpful, even if it sounds like we got the gist of it, just to take a little bit longer with the passage. Think about it. Figure out what he's saying. So let's do that with our second reading. In general, what the author of Hebrews is doing, it's a little unwieldy, but I don't know who wrote Hebrews. Maybe Paul, maybe not, I don't know. I'm just going to say the author. What the author of Hebrews is doing is comparing two different encounters with God. They're running parallel. And he contrasts these two different encounters with God. One encounter is on Mount Sinai. It seals the old covenant, and the mediator is Moses. The second encounter, revelation, manifestation of who God is to us, happens on Mount Zion. Seals the new covenant, and the mediator is Jesus. Well, how do we get there? Let's start with that first encounter. I may have surprised you that I said Mount Sinai, because it doesn't actually say anything about Mount Sinai. Let's look at how it starts. The author is talking to Christians, right? And he says, you have not approached that which could be touched. So this is not the encounter. You've gotten something else. You have not approached that which could be touched. This is a fairly strange thing to say. That which could be touched. Okay. The author of Hebrews is a good Platonist. Insofar as they are good. I think they're good. I like Platonists. And for him, as you may recall from your Plato studies in ancient philosophy, if you can't remember, you got to brush up. Do the forms sound familiar? Right? For Plato, like concrete particulars, like this ambo, this carpet, birds, they're like imperfect reflections of immaterial forms. The immaterial is better, realer, more perfect. The material is like a shadow. It points at the immaterial. It reflects it, sort of, but it's not as complete, not as real. Right? You have not approached something like this, something that's not as real. And then he gives us this great description, and he's inviting us to picture this scene. A blazing fire and gloomy darkness and storm. Very visual. And a trumpet blast and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. What the author is actually doing is carefully reflecting Exodus. The story of Moses at Mount Sinai, getting the law, sealing the old covenant, coming into contact with God. I'll just read a couple passages here, just so you get the sense of what the author of Hebrews is trying to call to mind. This is from Exodus. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. A little later. Now when the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Again from Hebrews, a trumpet blast and a voice speaking words such that those who heard them begged no message be further addressed to them. He's calling to mind this event on Sinai, full of darkness, noise. They can't see that well. They can't hear that well. And that's good, because even if they heard the voice of God, they're too afraid to even listen. They don't want to hear God speak to them. Keep reading. Our lectionary skipped two verses, right? What you heard in the Mass, skip two verses. They're not that important, but I like them, so we're going to read them. It's in Hebrews 12. Check your Bible. Your Magnificat is of no help to you right now. Good Protestants would have pulled it out. So this is verse 20. "For they could not bear to hear the command, 'If an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned.'" Again, hear from Exodus. "Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live." Again, we're referring to this manifestation of God. And what do you have in this manifestation of God, this disclosure of God? Well, you can't see him very well. You're far off, and it's dark. You don't want to hear him speak, and you can't even touch the mountain. It's a revelation of God. But might it be not all the way perfect, pointing to something better, fuller, clearer? In fact, if you pay really close attention, you'll notice that even though the author of Hebrews is describing this revelation of God on Mount Sinai, he never even says the word God. He invites you to picture the scene, but he doesn't invite you to think about God. It's as if we can't quite see him. So, what do? If God is over here, and the people are far off, trembling with fear, unable to see, hear, or touch even the mountain, you have a mediator. You get a go-between. You have Moses. Moses always does this in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He's the go-between between the people and God. He goes for the people before God and prays for them. And he goes from God to the people to give them the law, to tell them God's commands. He goes back and forth. He bridges the gap. Here's from verse 21. This is another one we skipped in the lectionary. "Indeed, so fearful was the spectacle that Moses said, 'I am terrified and trembling.'" I am terrified and trembling. What the author of Hebrews wants us to see is if God is over here and the people are over here and the people are afraid and the distance reflects their fear, Moses is a lot closer to the people than he is to God. Moses is a mediator, but he's still a man. There's still a gap between Moses and God. It's reflected in his fear. Moses is a mediator, but an imperfect one. Perhaps if we're lucky, one who points to a perfect mediator, a complete mediator. Okay. That is not what you've approached. No, the author says, you have approached Mount Zion. And the word approached is the same. It's a version of pros erkomai. You have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering. You've approached not Mount Sinai, but Mount Zion, which is associated with Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God. You've approached that, he's telling the Christian community. It's the city of the living God. He didn't mention God at all when he talked about Sinai. Here, this is the city of the living God. It's a clear picture. Instead of noise and darkness, you have the living God in choirs of angels. You have approached Mount Zion, city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. The Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God that we're expecting, right? That we're striving for. That's coming, heaven. We're looking towards it, right? Except, he said, you have approached. Perfect tense. Happened in the past. You have approached this place, the heavenly Jerusalem. What do we do with this? You have approached in the past something you're going towards in the future. Beyond the living God and the countless angels, or the myriads of angels, there's also the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. The assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. The word assembly is ecclesia. It could be translated church. So assembly works just as well. But the assembly, the gathering, the community, the church of the firstborn. Now, up until this point, in Hebrews, the firstborn refers to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be my son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Jesus is the firstborn. Jesus has a unique relationship with the Father. Jesus is the one the angels worship. Jesus has the status of the firstborn. So far, anyway. Hebrews also tells us in chapter 3, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Jesus is the firstborn. Jesus has the status of the firstborn son. Jesus has the closeness with the Father. But we share in Jesus. And through him, we get something like that closeness with the Father. By sharing in what Christ has, we get it too. Hebrews also says this. This is so beautiful. This is a very beautiful book, by the way. Hebrews chapter 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us with confidence draw near the throne of grace. Christ is that perfect mediator that Moses couldn't be. There was always a gap between Moses and God. Always a little frightened. But there is no gap between God and God, Jesus and God. And you know what else? There's no gap between Jesus and us. True man, too. And we really can approach Jesus. People literally did it in Galilee. They ran into him on the street. They were going and getting their shawarma and bumped into God by mistake. They looked at him. In his eyes, they listened to him speak. You and I literally approach Jesus. Come forward for the Eucharist. We meet him in the Scriptures. We listen to the gospel. Ask the Holy Spirit to be with us as we prayerfully read it. We approach Jesus. We meet Jesus. And in doing so, since he is our perfect mediator, we approach God. And we meet God. Now at the time of the homily, we want an application. Why overthink things? Here's the application. This ability to approach Jesus and approach God is a gift. And it's one not everyone has. People in the wilderness would have had their minds blown if we told them what was coming. Hebrews says, the judge of all the spirits of the just made perfect. It's probably the dead people, right? The dead had to wait for Christ to come. We have it now. It's a gift. Just appreciate it. Think about it. Give thanks for it. Pray with it. Look at the gift and take advantage of it. I believe in one God. Lifting our hearts in prayer, we call upon the name of God as we now turn to the Father and bring these petitions.
For Pope Francis, successor to St. Peter, that the Holy Spirit will guide him in proclaiming the good news and inspiring us to greater love and service, we pray to the Lord. For our nation and leaders, may we redouble our efforts to overcome injustice, prejudice, and violence so that peace and justice will reign through the Prince of Peace. We pray to the Lord. For all those who are beginning a new academic year at MSU, may they continue to learn and grow in faith as they rise to meet the challenges of our ever-changing world. We pray to the Lord. For Christian communities facing suffering and persecution, that God will protect them from harm, help them to be faithful witnesses to the gospel, and empower them to show forgiveness to their persecutors. We pray to the Lord. For all who are sick, may they be granted the grace to carry their cross in union with Christ. We pray for our television, radio, and online community. Doris Anderson, and those listed in our book of prayer, we pray to the Lord. For all the deceased, especially those whose lives have been taken by violence, may they be immersed in the mercy of God. We remember Bonnie Moon and all the holy souls in purgatory. We pray to the Lord.
Loving Father, you are our help. Your kindness is a greater good than life. May we bless you in our daily lives, always calling upon your name. Through Christ our Lord.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. May the sacred offering, O Lord, confer on us always the blessing of salvation, that what it celebrates in mystery, it may accomplish in power, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity, and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation. Through Christ our Lord, through him the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim.
Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, the Order of Bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory. Through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, our Father. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Your people of goodness and light. Now in this banquet, Christ.
Let us pray. Renewed by this bread from the heavenly table, we beseech you, Lord, that being the food of charity, it may confirm our hearts and stir us to serve you in our neighbor. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go forth, the Mass is ended.
Thanks be to God. Join in our final hymn, number 622, Canticle of the Turning, 622.
My soul.